Amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher. What's good? Hello? Hello? 1, 2. 1, 2. Hello? 1, 2. Hello? All right. Good to be here tonight, isn't it? Good to be saved. I'm glad I'm in church. I sure have enjoyed the meeting thus far. It's a good week to have something right here during this week, and I've been looking forward to it. Thank the Lord for all the good preaching. I praise God for Brother Frankie and the great message we've heard, all the other preachers, and my friends. I've got friends. They're just scattered around the country. And I thank the Lord for them being here tonight. And I got a friend stick closer than a brother. And the Lord's been good to me. No complaints. No regrets. I don't regret 1 mile I've ever traveled for the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a lot of preachers here tonight. I wonder if we could have them just stand right quick, all of our preachers here tonight. I know this is mainly a youth night meeting, but boy, we got a lot of preachers. Thank y'all for coming tonight. Y'all can be seated. Let's give them a big hand here this evening. Thank the Lord for it. Yeah. I'd like to encourage all you preachers. Listen, this preaching business, you do it for the Lord. You better not do it for the praise or approval of people. Because sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. I've drove 5 hours before and got blessed out. 5 hours, one way, 10 hours there and back. Preacher didn't even speak to me after the service was over. And then I've been to places where they put me up and take me out to a stake. You know what difference it makes? Don't make no difference. We preach for the Lord, right? You do know the time is coming, and it's already here in some parts of the world, that you, us preachers, would be jailed and even killed for what we've said here this week. Amen. Only the grace of God, the United States Constitution, is keeping that from happening right here tonight. And the day may come in our lifetime when we'll seal our testimony with our blood. You know what that is? That's a martyr. That's a martyr. I'm not trying to talk tough tonight. I don't want that to happen. But that day may come, and we got to make up our mind why we're doing this, who we're doing it for, and to keep on no matter what. One of the most discouraging things about preaching is you preach and preach and preach, and it seems like sometimes it just rolls right off people's back. All you preachers know what I'm talking about. And it always seems like the one you hope is going to get it don't ever get it. A preacher one time, you're not supposed to do this, but a preacher one time, some time ago, he had this man in his church. He was just living like a devil. Everybody knew it. And the preacher decided one morning, he said, I'm going to get him. So he got up and directed his whole sermon to that one guy. You ain't supposed to do that. But he did it. I guess some of you preachers in here have been guilty of that. I mean, he done it. At least bless God. These people that sit on the front row, I ain't calling no name, but wear these white ties and weird looking cowboy shirts or whatever. You know how, you know. He done everything but call that fella's name. I mean, he buttonholed him. He said, I'm going to get him today. He preached the whole sermon right that one fella. He said when service is over that night, people's coming out shaking his hand. First fella come out and said, preacher, I want you to know that sermon was right to me. Boy, that spoke to my heart. He said, thank you, sir. Lady come out, said, preacher, every word you said was right to me. Thank you so much. Next fella come out, said, preacher, you've been over at my house looking in my window. I know. How did you know? Everything you said was to me. Finally, that fella come out that he'd been preaching to. He got and said, preacher, bless God, that you told them this evening, buddy. I appreciate it. That's discouraging. And all you preachers know what I'm talking about. You think surely they got it this time, and they don't get it. It just goes right over their head. And that's discouraging. Her priest said one time he said these two fellows come drunk every Sunday, come to church drunk every Sunday. And he nailed it. He preached everything he knew to preach, every verse on alcohol, getting drunk, and they just sat there, yeah, nodding their head and all that. And finally he said, well, I'm going to illustrate it. So he brought him two jars, mason jars one time, and that one's about that big. And it was full of water. And he took this worm out, night crawler. And he said, now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. I'll drop this night crawler in this water. And it went in there and it just swam around and turned flips and went around like that. He pulled it out and said, now, he said, I have a jar of white lightning. Now watch the effects of alcohol. He put that worm in that jar and it just rolled up into a ball and went right at the bottom and died. Everybody went, oh. He said, now what does that prove? One old drunk raised his hand. He said, proves drunks don't have worms, preacher. So that's what we got to deal with, stuff like that. And I'm telling you, it'll get next to you, preacher. It'll drive you nuts. But the Bible said we're to preach what? In season? That out of season, what's bad? Bad. But I thank God that you got to make up your mind. Make up your mind what you're going to preach. Make up your mind who you're going to please. And make up your mind you're going to finish your course. There can't nobody run your course but you. And you ought to get in it and do it the best of your ability. Don't try to be somebody else. Be the best you can be for the glory of God. Amen. God made us all different. He don't want us to be clones. You can go some places and tell where they went to school 5 seconds after they get up there. He wants you to be you. He wants me to be me. I ain't much, but I'm the best me I can be right now for the glory of God. Amen. Now, don't forget now, Thursday night was in out the old year and in the new. I talked to Brother Brandon. I'm going to be doing a very special message Thursday night. A video preaching message in which I'm going to show you what's going on in this world in the last 6 months, just since June. While the church has been asleep, the world kicked in high gear toward hell in 2015. We're going to show you about the RFID microchip you've heard so much about. How close they are to implanting that in under people's skin in this country in the next few months, possibly. In the next year or two, surely. You say, is that the mark of the beast? No, but it sure is getting us ready for what's coming. One of the ways you know the Bible's true is everything happens just like that old book said that it would. And so you don't want to miss Thursday night. It's going to be a sign that we're going to end out the old year and bring in the new if it's God's will for us to live here again in 2016. A lot of the other things I could say, it sure is good to see the Harrises all the way from New Mexico. Good to have all you preachers. Brother Joe, I'm glad you got to come down. Brother Frankie, Joe's been a friend of mine for many years. And all you preachers, Brother Ricky, all y'all from youth camp. Glad Brother Jason, y'all got to come from our church. And let's just ask the Lord to help us all tonight. Open your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 22 this evening. And I want to bring you a message the Lord's put on my heart. I had something else I had planned for tonight, but I believe somebody here needs this message. Luke chapter number 22. And I'll look here at a verse of scripture here this evening in the Word of God. Luke chapter number 22. And let's see here in verse number 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sit down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I want to preach tonight on the subject, out of touch with God. It is possible to break fellowship with God by not living as we should live, or living in open, deliberate rebellion or sin against God. Relationship cannot be broken, but fellowship can. Once you're kin to Him, you're always kin to Him. But you can break fellowship with God by rebelling and not doing as the Lord would have you to do. Some people want God's blessings on their lives, but at the same time want to live in such a way that would withhold God's blessings from their lives. And so I preach tonight on out of touch. People say, stay in touch. When you go to high school, as you graduate and go your separate ways, your friends will say, now you stay in touch. You're going your way, I'm going this way. Stay in touch. Our college, you graduate college, or you, when we leave here, this meeting, say, keep in touch with me. Stay in touch. Let me know what's going on in your life. I'll let you know what's going on in my life. That's staying in touch. And a Christian, by prayer and the Word of God, should stay in touch with the Lord. So you understand the sense in which I mean that. Now, Peter is the outstanding character in the Bible of a person who got out of touch with God. I'm going to tell you as a story tonight, as a Bible story. I told my girls Bible stories all when they were little, about that high. And I was preaching on the street all the time and everything. I was a pastor, just a young pastor. And so I got up in church and told Bible stories that I told my girls. And 80-year-old people come up and said, that's the best preaching I ever heard in my life. So I learned something. I learned if we'll keep it on about a 7 or 8-year-old level, we can help most of the adults in our Baptist churches tonight. It's awful, but it's true. And so tonight, I'm going to tell you in the form of a story tonight, the story of Peter. Number one, Peter was in touch with God. I mean, you can't deny that. Peter was in touch, people. He was right with God. I mean, he was one of the men that Jesus went by down there when he saw the fishermen. And he said, come follow me. Left their nets. Left their nets. That's a picture of a conversion. Leaving that old life behind. And followed him. And went in the way. Peter was with the Lord Jesus Christ during that 3.5 years of public ministry that Jesus had here on this earth. He was right there and saw Peter touch the blind man's eyes, and that man could see. Can you imagine that? Saw Jesus do that. He sat and listened as Jesus sat on the mount and gave the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you. I mean, Peter sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. Peter saw him as he walked by one day, and a boy was being taken to his funeral, and the Lord walked up and touched the bier, that box, the coffin casket, and that opened up, and that little boy, Peter, witnessed that with his own two eyes. You can't say Peter was not in touch with God. I'm telling you, Peter himself, it was Peter, not the other 11, that took a step out there on the water that day out of the boat. It was Peter, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you know, we fought Peter, and he had some. But I'll tell you one thing. Peter, he's doubted the Lord, began to sink when the water did. He took more steps than anybody else. He's the only one of them that had the faith and the guts to step out there. I'm telling you, he went out there that day, and the Lord come walking. He said, is that really you, Lord? And the Lord said, yeah. And he's one of these guys that never could stand to watch somebody do something. He said, I want to do it. He said, if that's you, Lord, can I do that? And the Lord said, sure, come on. Now think about that. Think about that. Yeah. You're out in the water, brother, in the sea, and you take your foot and
Okay, Lord, is that really you? That's you. I'm gonna look stupid if this ain't you. And he go, and he goes, ha 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 ha. Feels pretty good. And he took another step, and another step. And he began to doubt. You don't think he was in touch with the Lord? When he began to doubt, he started getting scared. He said, "Oh my goodness, I'm out here walking. What am I doing? This is crazy. This is ridiculous." And he started doubting, and he started going down. And when he started going down, you don't think that man was right? He prayed three words and touched Jesus Christ. "Lord, save me." And God grabbed him just like that right there. Are you that close to the Lord tonight? Could you hit your knees right now and say three words and get a hold of Jesus? I doubt it. Most of it. I mean, buddy, he was in touch with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad he wasn't a Catholic. He'd have said, "Hail Mary, full of grace." I mean, he'd been gone. Ain't nobody never heard from him since. I'm telling you, he said, "Lord, save me." Jesus grabbed him just like that. That old boy was in touch with the Lord. I had an old friend of mine up in Delaware, Alan Ryman, who pastors a church up there. And he had this old boy in his church named Uncle Billy. I never did know his old name, but they called him Uncle Billy. And he used to go to camp with us, and he, big old rough redneck boy, got saved, and he had old, big old hair and a big old woolly beard like this. And boy, he just rough. And he got saved. And that boy got saved. And I mean, he got in. And they said he was in Washington, D.C. one evening. And he's coming up the road, and he had just got paid. Had $1,800 cash in his pocket. And right on him. And he said, "You know how they are, people crazy." He stopped at a red light. He said a guy opened the front door and jumped in, pulled a gun on him. And he said, "Pull over and give me all your money." And old Billy just hit the guy. Whoa! And went flying down the street. He said that man hauled out. This is a true story. He said, "Craig, pull this car over. Pull it. I'm going to shoot you." And old Billy said, "I don't care. Go ahead. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." I went flying around. That guy said, "I'll tell you, he's crazy, you fool. You're going to kill us if you don't get. I'm going to shoot you if you don't pull over." He said, "I've been wanting to go to heaven ever since I got saved. Go ahead." And that guy said, "Stop, you crazy thing." And he stopped, and God jumped out. Doggone, it's like, yeah, that's pretty close to God, ain't it? I mean, buddy, he was in touch. That boy was in touch. You know, years ago, old Dr. Percy Ray, that had that camp meeting down in Myrtle, Mississippi. Many of you used to go. I used to go down there every once in a while, that Myrtle, Mississippi. And old Percy Ray, they said one night, I believe Brother Wayne told that story. He said, they got up and they didn't have nothing to eat. Something happened to the food, and they had bread, and they had vegetables, and they had salad, but they didn't have no meat. And they said, Percy Ray stood up there at that pulpit that day, and Percy Ray got up and he said, you know, he talked like this. He said, "Folks," he said, "we need to pray." He said, "Lord," he said, "I want you to give us some meat for all these people. There are probably 1,000 people there." And he said, "Lord, we prefer chicken. Lord, give us chicken." Amen. Like that. They went on. That's a true story. And they said they went on and had them like that. And he said they're sitting there, and there somebody's up preaching. Somebody come in the side door over here and whispered something in Percy Ray's ear. And they had had a problem out front. There's a guy driving this truck, and he come down that highway, and his truck broke down. And the truck broke down like that. And it's one of these great big old truck carrier for a company. And he said they couldn't get it started. And the guy come in. He said, "Can I use telephone?" They said, "Yeah." He called his boss. He said, "Boss," he said, "my truck's broke down here." And the guy said, "Well, it's going to be 3 or 4 hours before we can get a wrecker out there to help you." He said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "You ain't got no choice. You'll have to just sit there till we get there." And he was in the church office using the phone. And he said, "Well, Bob, you know, there's one of these big trucks with a freezer on the back of it." He said, "What do you want me to do with all this chicken?" And the boss said, "I don't know." He said, "The truck won't run. It's thawing out." And they looked over and these people said, "Y'all don't need no chicken, do you?" And she ran in and whispered it in Dr. Perret's ear. He said, "Praise God." And brother, they had chicken that night. I tell you, you know something tonight? He was in touch with God. Amen. He was in touch with God. That's the way Peter was. Oh, Peter was in touch with God. Ladies and gentlemen, he preached. I'm telling you something, brother. It's just like that. I mean, he stepped on that water. It wasn't like these modern day fakes, you know. Heard that story about the Baptist preacher and the Methodist preacher Presbyterian preacher, you know, they'd all gone out fishing on Monday morning. They was all trying to brag about their services yesterday. And they said they was over there out on the boat fishing. And about that time, the Methodist preacher said, "You know something? I left my tackle box over there." And he said, "They just jumped out, walked across the water, right across there, pretty as you please, over to the side and got his tackle box." About that time, the Methodist preacher said, "You know what? I left my lunch in my truck." He stepped right out there, walked on that water just pretty as you please. Right over there, the other, well, the Baptist preacher said, not to be outdone. Sat there and said, "Well, bless God, if them liberal backslid heathen can do it, I can do it." And so he took one step. Now I can't start swimming. There's over our lady said, "Reckon I'll tell that fool where them rocks are." He stepped on them thing. It wasn't like that. He really did walk on water. Peter was. I will establish the fact this evening that Peter was saved. He was in touch with God. He was in touch with God. I want to say secondly this evening, Peter lost touch with God. Peter lost touch with God. Now look at the steps that led to his demise spiritually. Yeah, how does a person go from walking on water to cussing and saying, "I don't even know who"? There's somebody here, no doubt about it. You used to shout and serve God. You used to sing in a choir. Maybe even used to preach. But now you go to work and you cuss and you raise Cain and you lie and you live. No doubt there's somebody sitting here. How do you get in a shape like that? People say, "Well, I just don't believe that a person that's saved could do something like that." You ain't been around very long. I know that. I tell you what old Peter did. You know what he did? Let me give you the steps right quick. First of all, he fell asleep when he ought to have been praying. He fell asleep when he ought to have been praying. You see, the Lord looked at him that night and his betrayal, and he laid there and he said, "Here, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And the Lord went over here and he fell upon his face and he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if it can be your will, oh Lord, help me, help me." And he came back over and found them asleep. He woke them up and he said, "What? Could you not watch 1 hour?" And Peter was in that group. He fell asleep when he ought to have been praying. I'm going to tell you something, people, tonight. If there's ever been a time when we better be burning some midnight oil and getting a hold of God and praying for our kids and our churches and our pastors, it's a day you and I are living in. This world ain't playing out there tonight. The devil ain't messing around. He's out seeking whom he may devour. And he'll ruin your life if you give him half a change. Sometimes you ought to set that alarm clock a little bit earlier or stay up a little bit later and stay on your knees and say, "Dear God, Peter slept when he ought to have been praying." Amen. He sure did. And then let me say this. The Bible tells us that he followed afar off. That's not an accident. That's in the Bible. He followed afar off. Better be careful. You're already starting to backslide when you start backing up from where you used to do. You used to read your Bible every day. Now it's 2 or 3 days a week. You know, I've been pastoring a long time now. Frankie can tell you the same thing. It always starts the same way. They're on fire for God, never miss a service, always paying their tithes, living right. Next thing you know, Wednesday night, they're not there. Next thing you know, Sunday night, they're not there. Next thing you know, it's hit and miss on Sunday morning. And the next thing you know, it's been 2 or 3 weeks. Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? You know what happened? You go talk to them. "Oh, preacher, we got plenty of like this at home. Oh, preacher, we're still in there. We're just got a lot going on right now. And grandma's been sick and we was on vacation." It's following afar off. He's still a following, but he's following afar off. Just ain't as close as he used to be. This ain't no time to back up, folks. This ain't no time to pull back on your church attendance and your prayer life and your Bible reading. Lord, the Bible said, so much the more as we see the day approaching. I can talk all night about that. But he followed afar off, getting further and further and further away. And then it said, Peter did this. He stood over there. You know what else caused him to get out and get out of touch with God? He warmed himself by the enemy's fire. Bible said, that's one reason I believe the Bible is so strong. Stuff like that. It said it was cold that night and they had a fire and Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
Amen.
Why did the Holy Ghost put that in the Bible? Why is that in there? Why does he stick stuff like that in? Well, if you got a half spiritual brain in your body, you'll know what he's talking about. He warmed himself by the enemy's fire. He stood with them and warmed himself. Can I say it plain this evening? Can I tell you something this evening? Listen, when you have to warm yourself with the enemy's fire, you're done getting away from God and getting backslid. In other words, when it takes what thrills them to thrill you, you're in trouble. When you get your kicks the same way they get their kicks, you're getting out of church. When you get a thrill like that, I mean, if you got to go see all the movies and all the wicked stuff and have all the country music, I know I'm in Alabama, country music, and you got rap. I don't know if you have that here. I'll tell you something, brother. You hear me? You have to warm yourself by the enemy's fire. You're getting out. You're getting out when you get your kicks the same way the world gets theirs. We don't have to have the world's entertainment to entertain us. All right, you liked it a minute ago. What happened to you? Amen. He warmed himself by the enemy's fire. He followed the Lord afar off. And then, finally, he cursed and denied that he ever knew him. Peter got out of touch with God. Think about it tonight. They were out there that night. And out there that night at the supper. And the Lord looked around. And there was those men. You could feel it in the air. It was a little bit different that night. Something bad was coming. You could just feel that evil spirit. While on the other hill over there, Judas, the traitor, was gathering a mob of men to come and take him by force if necessary. And the Lord knew it. And he sat there that night and break bread among all the disciples. And they said, the Lord looked at him and he said, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they all started looking and said, Lord, is it I? Lord, I sure hope it ain't me. I sure hope that I'm not the one. I hope you got that attitude tonight about your church, about the Lord. Lord, don't let it be me. Now, one of them said, Peter said, Lord, I'll never do it. It'll never happen to me. There's one thing for sure. I'm ready to die with you. I'll not deny you. And the Lord looked at him and said, I tell you, Peter, before that rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me three times. And it got quiet. And somebody changed the subject. And Judas had his hand on the bag. And the Lord looked at him and said, what do you do? Just do it quickly. And he went out into that pitch dark night. Those lights were flashing, those lanterns and candles or whatever they had there on the table that night that we call the Lord's Supper. Suddenly, somebody looked up and said, what's that? Who's that? And through the bushes, you could see some dimly lit faces coming up through them woods and them weeds with lanterns and lights. And it was the evil mob. And they come right up to him. And they said, where's he at? Which one is he? And Jesus stepped out and he said, I am he. And he said that the Holy Ghost knocked them. They fell down on their back. That's the only time in the Bible anybody fell on their back. When the Holy Ghost hit them. Everybody else in the Bible, God would say, falls on their face. little doctrine into the story, but you got to have it. Nobody falls on their back except them lost people trying to crucify him. They fell backwards. And then they stood up, didn't take that warning. And one of them said, which one is he? There's 8 or 9 of them standing over there. And Judas said, I'll show you which one. And Judas walks up to him. Jesus said, hello, friend. How's that for love, man? Woo! Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And Judas was one of them. Judas grabbed him like this, you know. He said, the one I kiss on the cheek, that's him. Popped him right there on the cheek. And they grabbed him. And them disciples, Peter was already getting upset. He wasn't going to let that just go by. And he said, get it! And they grabbed him like that! And the Lord said, now wait a minute, guys, no violence, no violence, no violence. And Peter took out his sword like that, and goes, wow! And whacked that guy's ear right off of his head. And his ear fell down and started bleeding on the ground. And that guy screamed in my ear. And I'm going to tell you something, he wasn't aiming for his ear. He was going to split that fella's head right down the middle, buddy, and just missed by the help of God right there. And the Lord looked down and touched that ear, and it jumped back on that fella's head. Now, if Benny Hinn could do that, I'd send him an offering. Amen. That's healing right there, son. Anyway, and that guy ran off. How would you like to be that fella? Go home and tell your wife, honey, the weirdest thing happened to me tonight. My ear got cut off. She said, what? I don't know what you've been smoking. You cook crystal meth or something. Your ear looks fine. You don't even have a scar. I'm telling you, it was off. Ask anybody. It's laying on the ground. And that man they took, he put it back on my head. Yeah. There was some wild stuff going on around there that night. Yeah. And demons was working. And angels was saying, let me get them. And God said, hold back. Got a job to do. He's going to pay the price. He's going to redeem my children. Let my son do the work that I've given to glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus didn't quit. I'm glad he didn't give up. But he went all the way. He went out there that night. You know what the book says? The disciples forsook him and fled. All of them. Peter went running down to the door and said, I told him this was going to happen. Now they kill him. Now they're going to kill us. And Peter got mad.
God bless you.
You know about 90% of the backsliding starts, listen to me, when you get mad at God because something didn't work out like you thought it ought to work out. Most people that get backslid get aggravated because they thought they had everything planned out and something went crazy and you let it just throw you out. That's what happened to Peter. Amen. I'm telling you, he went down there. They took him back and forth to Pilate's judgment hall. Peter lost touch. His backsliding. He got further and further and further away. They led him down there to Pilate's judgment hall and said, who are you? And he opened not his mouth. Slap! The Bible said they covered his face with their spit. Covered his face with their spit. They plowed up his back like you'd take a tiller and till up your garden. They run one of them things right up his back and tore him all to pieces. And Peter got mad and said, I gave up my fishing business. I followed him 3.5 years. My kinfolks laughed at me. They told me something like this was going to happen. Just went down the street. He went into a restaurant. Sat down. Little girl's standing over there talking. The waitresses. And she said, look at that guy over there. Boy, he looks like he's in a bad mood. Won't you go wait on him? She said, may I help you, sir? He said, give me a hamburger. French fries, Pepsi. She said, you a preacher? No! Wasn't you with? I could have swore I seen you and them out the other day. giving out tracts out there. So just shut up and get my hamburger, girl. Preacher! She walks in there. He sees them over there talking. You preachers ain't never done much if you ain't been in a restaurant and seen them over there talking about you. That's a regular thing with me. There he is. And one of them said, I know he's one of them. I know he is. I've seen him. I saw him over there. His speech bewrayeth him. Whatever that means. I think that means he talks like one of them. Am I right, brother? His speech bewrayeth him. I tell you, the way that guy talks, he'd been hanging around Jesus Christ. They got him out there killing him. What's he going to do? And Mike comes and said, here you are, sir. Let's see if he asks his blessing. No, he didn't. Maybe he just grabbed it through and took a big bite of it. Give me another, some ketchup. She said, yes, sir. Here. Are you sure you're not a preacher? Just don't worry about it. Fill my Pepsi glass up. He didn't ask his blessing. Maybe he really ain't one of them. And another one come in and said, I tell you, that guy right there, there's something different about him than everybody else in here. Y'all heard about what's going on out there? No. What? Oh, they got him. You know that guy's been going around doing miracles and everything? They got him. Somebody said they had him down at Pilate's judgment hall right now interrogating him. They're down there asking questions. They're beating him. They done beat him. As soon as I get off work, I'm going down there. And Peter's sitting there listening to that. He didn't understand. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand what Jesus meant when he said, 3 days and they'll take my life. He couldn't get it, brother. He didn't have it all figured out. But he just put his fist down on the table and said, break it. And finally, one of them goes there and said, man, I don't know if he's a preacher, but he sure ain't acting like one. And the manager walked out and said, let me go talk to him. He said, are you a preacher, son? He wiped the mayonnaise off his mouth like that with a salmon. He said, blankety blank, no. I don't know who you're talking about. How could a man go from walking on water to cussing in public and say he didn't know who Jesus was? Got out of touch. Got out of touch. How could you go from singing and shouting in the choir out there whoring around somewhere or on rug? You lose touch with God. Only way any of us live right because the Lord got a hold of us. You couldn't live right 15 minutes if it wasn't for his hand. Oh, man, I couldn't either. Amen. And old Peter looked through his pet and the girl said, well, I'm going to go take him his bill. I'm going to get out of here. Man, I can feel the devil on that guy. Here you go, sir. He stomped the thing down there and he said, I'm going to tell you something. You blankety blank bunch of hussies running this place. You ain't got no business judging nobody anyway. You're going to jump in the lake for all I care, blankety blanky. And paid his bill and walked out. That's what happened. She said, did he leave a tip? No, well, that proves it. He is a Baptist preacher. That's in the Greek, you old uneducated hillbillies can't get stuff like that. You have to know Greek to get that. She said, about that time, they sent him from Herod's judgment hall to Pilate. And they was grabbing Jesus down that old cobblestone walkway. And it was cold that night, and blood was running down his face, and his eyes was beat in, and his mouth was busted, and he done had stripes on his back. And Peter come out of there and said, I'll never preach again. That's what I get for going around running my mouth like that blanket. I'll never go back to church. I've had it. And he flung his stuff down, and he walked out the door. There come down the street. Point number three. Peter got back in touch with God. The Bible said the Lord turned
and looked upon Peter. That's all it took, buddy.
That's right.
Ain't nobody can look at you like he can look at you. But ain't nobody can change you with a look like he can change you with a look. Boy, when Peter's eyes met his eyes, Peter looked and he thought of the times out there at night around the fire when the Lord had expounded the Old Testament Scriptures and proved that he was the Christ. And Peter looked at him and he thought of the time he raised the widow's main son from the dead. And Peter looked at him and they had him on both arms and his eyes was beat in and blood coming out of his mouth, and he turned and looked upon Peter. And the Bible said that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. There's, you know a man's really saved. The devil may get him. The devil may trip him up. But somewhere down the road, he'll run into the blessed Lamb. And the Lord will look at him. And he'll find him a place of repentance.
Amen.
You know what the Bible said? He wept bitterly.
Amen.
He didn't come to the altar and shake the preacher's hand and say, "Preacher, I've not been as dedicated as I should have been. Please pray for me." No, sir, buddy. He run out of town out there and up a stump somewhere and bawled his eyes out.
Right.
He said, Oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of myself. God, I ought to be ashamed. God, I'm a no good preacher. God, I ain't worth shooting. Listen, brother, you ain't never, listen, if you know the Lord, if you really know the Lord, you might get out. The devil might throw you a curve. He might flip you up somewhere, but somewhere it might be a home. It might be in the house of God. You're going to run into him and you're going to feel like you're that tall and you're going to say, "Oh Lord, I hurt you. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've hurt you. God, I've hurt you." And he wept bitterly. Peter got back in touch with God. Listen to me. After he got through praying, Jesus, they went ahead and killed him that day, the next day. Kept him all day and beat him to death. And his blood dripped down the cross. Now, I don't know where Peter and him was during them 3 days. And then the third day come, you know, he rose from the dead. And Mary and them come to the tomb that day, and the angel said, "Now listen. Y'all, go tell his disciples and Peter." Ain't that something? That's what you know the Holy Ghost wrote that book. Go tell his disciples and Peter. I don't really know what he was right there in that little short period of time there. But I'll tell you one thing. Lord said, "Make sure you tell my buddy Peter that he's rose from the dead." And they went out there and said, "He rose from the dead. He's rose from the dead." They all come looking for him. And Jesus appeared to them. And he broke them. And he broke some fish and bread on the fire. And they said, "Lord, we thought it was over. We thought, hey, don't underestimate God, buddy. About time you think it's over, God's got a big plan. Just about time you think you're done, the Lord will put you back in there." Sure will. And he was encouraged and recommissioned. Encouraged and recommissioned. They was all sitting around the fire one night. Weird stuff was going on around town. Moses and Abraham people was out there floating around. I'm not sure they was floating, but I imagine them just floating like them hoverboards. Like that. I rode one the other night. My kid, Carrie's kids got. I said, "That's the way the Old Testament saints did when they come up. They're about that high off the ground, just." That's why zombies are so popular. The devil counterfeiting that stuff.
Yeah.
Walking Dead and stuff. Really did happen. Gonna happen again, too. And you know what? They're sitting around the fire that night. And they're all sitting around there. There's only 11 of them. Judas, by transgression, fell. And his bowels gushed out. And he went where? To his own place. You know where that place is? That's a bottomless pit there in the book of Revelation. He's coming out of there one day too. His spirit's going to get an Antichrist. Son of perdition. And you know what? There's all sitting around here, and there's 11. And the Lord said, that was the frogs and stuff that was hollering on that night. And they sit around that fire. Like that. I know that rain. They sat around that night, and the Lord said, Peter. I knew it. He's going to call me out right in front of all these other guys. 10 of them. He bowed his head. He's ashamed. There's James and John and all them guys stayed faithful.
Yeah.
There he was, sorry, good for nothing, cussing preacher. He ought to be ashamed of himself. He said, yes, Lord. He thought, well, he's going to rake me out. He's going to cuss me out. He's going to church me right now. He's going to take away my discipleship and cast me into outer darkness. And the Lord said, you love me?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes, I do. I sure do. I sure do. Whew, boy, I thought he was really going to, I probably was going to say, why'd you do that, you sorry good man? And confess in front of all these brethren.
Not what he did.
Not what he did, yeah. I'm glad the Lord ain't as hard on us as some people are. He said, have nothing about it. Peter. Uh-oh. I thought I got off awful easy. Here it comes. Yes, Lord. You love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. It's okay. Feed my lambs. And everybody just looking around like, man, what's going on here? What? And about that time he said, Peter! He said, okay, Lord. Okay. Yes, he said, do you love me?
Yeah.
He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. I ain't got nothing hid from you. You know what, dog? I love you. He said, feed my sheep. All right, boy, pass me some of them hush puppies. Let's get on with this meal. They said, that's it? You ain't going to put him on probation? Under the watch care of the church? Who's going to watch him? People that's watching him. You ever met these churches? They put you under the watch care. You say, well, my church does that. I'm just telling you, that ain't the way God does it. Who's watching you? Well, we want to see if he's really right. Who sees you're really right? He said, Peter, you love me. Now, I know what you preachers sitting there thinking. I got it. I studied that 30 years ago. I understand the three different words for love. I heard all that stuff ever since I've been saved. Oh, there's the phileo love, and that's a normal love that a person. And then there's eros, where we get our word erotic, and that's a stronger type of love. And then there's agape. I studied that out 30 years ago. That ain't what he's talking about. That's to make you think if you don't know Greek, you don't really know what God said. Look, you got God's word in English, you know what he said. Please don't try to tell me Jesus told Peter to have eros love for him. Don't tell me that and ruin the story. He asked him 3 times, did he love him? Each time for one of those denials. That is, he denied him 3 times. 3 times Peter confirmed his love. Taken from a 1611 King James Bible. You got that? Amen, right there.
Amen. Pray.
Help somebody if you let it. I know there's different Greek words, hush. That ruins a story, too. You say, well, preacher, you're minimizing sin. No, I ain't. I'm maximizing grace. I'm not minimizing sin. Sin's awful. Sin's wicked. Sin's terrible. Sin's hellish.
by minimizing sin and maximizing the grace of God, not minimizing sin like it's nothing. You know what your problem is? You minimize grace. You believe in hard believism. It's your problem. Let me tell you something. Less than 50 days later, that's a month and a half, Jerusalem was all in an uproar. People were coming from everywhere. And there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven gathered unto Jerusalem that day. And everything, it was the day of Pentecost. P-E-N-T-5. Pentecost, like the Pentateuch, like the Pentagon, first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, the Pentecost. And that day, they come down there, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came down. In Acts chapter number 2, the word of God said, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were in the upper room, and cloven tongues of fire set down on their head. For you see, the Lord told them before he left, he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, when I go, I'll send the comforter. And we know he got back all right because the comforter made it here. And the comforter come down and filled all the house where they were sitting. And buddy, they were in there praying, the 11 and about 120 of them, about 120. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And buddy, when the Holy Ghost fills you, there's one thing that'll happen to you. You'll come out of there a witnessing maniac. And I'm telling you, they come out of there that day, and them disciples, they come out, glory to God, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Come to church, hallelujah, he's alive. And about that time, that crowd gathered up there, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And the crowd was gathering. Nobody knew what was going on. About that time, there was a preacher that stepped up on a car hood. And he got up there like that. And he said, hear ye, my brethren. Ye have taken the Lord and by wicked hands have crucified him. And I'll tell you right now, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. I mean, brother, he's shelling the corn. I want you to know, glory to God, that people over there getting under conviction. And them two girls that worked at that restaurant was off because it was Pentecost. It's in the Greek. And one of them looks, Brother Ricky, and said,
come on, preacher.
That's him. I know that guy. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's him.
That's him.
That guy was cussing about 4 weeks ago. He said he didn't even know who Jesus was. And her kin folks said, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him preach. How often have you heard that? Amen. I'd never go to his church. Ain't it funny? Ain't that the Lord? Ain't it the Lord, brother? He said, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified. But God said his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. And brother, the Bible said when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And the Bible said that people got under conviction. He said, you men of Israel, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified. Lord, you never heard such preaching in your life. Listen, there ain't a one of us in here that want to hear a man preach that cussed and said he didn't know God. In October. I wouldn't. So he cussed, said, you know the Lord. Walked, well, I won't hear him preach. That's how good God is and how sorry we are. Wonder how come God didn't let James preach that sermon. Wonder how come God didn't let Matthew preach that sermon. It was Peter. There he was. Same feller that cussed and said he didn't even know him. Who does he think he is? They ought to take his license or something. He ain't got no license. You know what he got? He got recommissioned. He got restored. And one of them said, well, I think he ought to sit down for about a year and listen to a good man of God. And another said, well, yeah, but didn't the Lord say, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one? And I looked up that word restore, and you can look it up in the dictionary. It means put it right back like it was to start with.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I know that ain't your belief, but it's the Lord's word, and that's what he said. Put it right back where it was, and old Peter preached off his sermon ever was, and they shouted, and 3,000 people got saved that day. 3,000. Some of you ain't happy right now because you don't believe that. Why didn't he believe them boys that's living right? I have no clue. I don't know why he didn't use them. God just does. Let me tell you something about God. God's going to use who he chooses. And if he don't choose, he ain't going to use him. Lord, I've known preachers that hung around trying to get doors open. I've seen them send resumes out, and they couldn't preach their way out of a paper bag. And I've seen some old redneck come up, can't even half read, and God used him all over the country. You know what? That's God's business. We can't figure that out. God said, Peter, you jump up and preach, son. And he preached, and nearly about 3,000. Before you start cussing Peter, have you ever preached a sermon at 3,000? About 2,000. 1,000. They come home that evening and said, I'd have never believed it. I can't believe. How come God ain't killed him? And his wife said, the same reason he ain't killed you, I guess. Ain't you glad God didn't kill Peter? Yeah. Lady wrote J. Harold Smith a letter one time. She said, preacher, what if Peter died while he's out there cussing? And Dr. Smith wrote her back a letter and said, ma'am, Peter did not die. That was the answer. Lady came to me one night and she said, Danny, what if you went and got drunk and then you died? I said, well, what if you gossiped and then you died? She said, that's different. Nuh-uh. If you'll go to hell for drinking, you'll go to hell for gossiping. It's in the same book. The truth is, I ain't minimizing sin. I ain't. Sin's awful. I hate sin worse than I ever have in my life. I'm maximizing God's grace and forgiveness. Sin's awful. But the Lord can help you. Now, there's somebody here tonight. While y'all come, Brother Nail, Jason, some of y'all come. There's somebody here tonight. You've messed up. And we're not glad about it. And God's not happy about it. And you've grieved the heart of God. And the Lord wants to help you tonight. He wants to help you tonight. And he wants you to get down here tonight and get down on your knees and say, Lord, do like Peter did. He wept bitterly. That's what to do. You know the only way you can handle sin? Repent of it. That's it. That's the only thing you can do with sin. You can't go back and undo it. You can say, you can try your best, and you can't undo something that's done. Repent. Repent of it. Peter repented. I bet he didn't cuss and deny him no more. I bet he didn't. I bet he stayed straight till they crucified him upside down. And he died to glorify his Lord. Let me say to you tonight, if you've messed up, it's not over. Come back this evening and let's get back in here and get right with God. Come on, let's stand. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Help us tonight. Lord, I pray for that one of those here this evening who needs to come and get right. They'll come. Lord, make things right with you before it's too late. God, help somebody just slide right out of their seat right now and get down here in this altar. Make things right in Jesus' name. Come on, come on, come on. They're coming. They're coming. Let's sing tonight. They're coming. Come on, young people, mama, daddy, let's come right now. You've heard the message Brother Frankie preached. You've heard the message how God helped Peter, and he can help you. Come on, that's right. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Jesus is calling. Calling for. He's calling for you. For me. Amen. Come on now. Come on. That's right, girls. That's right. Somebody pray these girls here. Let God help you tonight. Come on. Somebody pray this young man right here. Ask God to help him. Amen. Let God help you tonight. Come on, young people. For you and for me. Amen. Come on home. Come on. Home. Amen. Home. That's right. Sing now. Oh.
That's right.
Come on, will you ladies? Our ladies. Drop it down there, brother. Go ahead now. Ladies.
Should we tarry?
Why should you tarry when Jesus is calling? That's crazy. That's crazy. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to help you. Will you let him? Will you let him tonight?
And he not. Come home, come home.
Sing now.
Ye who are weary.
Amen.
Tenderly, Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, oh, sinner.
Sing one more, brother. We're going to sing one more verse. Come on, sir. Come on, daddy. Come on, mama. Get it settled tonight. Get it settled tonight. Don't walk out of here out of fellowship with God. Get right with God here this evening.
For me.
Sing now.